Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
Well, the new cabinet has been announced by the Prime Minister. It's a new look cabinet, so he is telling us. It's certainly a new look government, a new approach. All the new words are being trotted out. A younger team, of course. The new Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, and his brand new deputy, Josh Frydenberg. And I must say, they did look like, you know, solid leaders as they were sworn in. I loved the fact that on Friday evening when they went to Government House, they were sworn in by the Governor-General. One swore on the Bible, the other swore on the Torah, and was wearing his skullcap as a Jew. So you have these two men of faith who are at the top of our government now, and that's really something. We'll explore that tonight, and thank you for your calls. We'll take those calls in a moment. Firstly, to our political analyst on Open House, John Warhurst of the Australian National University. Hello, John.
Hi, Stephen. How are you?
Great. I can ask you with great alacrity, how did they pass the MCG test, the new leaders?
Well, that would be a good test. 37,000 people at the MCG. I think they are an interesting new generation of leaders, and I think they make quite a formidable team and an interesting team.
And more successful than your Greater Western Sydney Giants.
Well, they would be hoping so, because the Greater Western Sydney Giants fell well behind against Melbourne today. So it was a disappointing afternoon for the Greater Western Sydney Giants. But I suppose that's the sort of stern test that Scott Morrison and Josh Frydenberg will have to face between now and next May. Perhaps next May might be the best guess.
Well, okay, so let's go to that. So after the events of this week, after the turmoil, now comes the rebuild.
And they've got rebuild, the reckoning, I think. Yes, the hard work. I mean, that's what all new leadership teams say. You know, we're up and running. We're listening to you, the community. We've got a new team and, you know, trust us. We're the answer to your prayers, if I may say that, as far as the government is concerned. But Scott Morrison and Josh Frydenberg will quickly learn, as leaders have before them, that getting there is, while it's difficult, is the easier task than actually the governing itself and building the united team and convincing the Australian electorate from a position behind in the polls, as far as one can tell, although we haven't had a poll since they were chosen or they were elected, that the coalition should be returned at the next election.
Well, now, in doing so, he's got to convince them that the last week was just a mere, you know, internecine argument between a couple of brothers and sisters who didn't quite get on, but it's all good now. But clearly it's not all good, though, is it?
No, it's not all good, and it's the worst sort of family drama that families hope they would never experience. It was played out in full view of the electorate. Their immediate response, the electorate, as far as we can tell, and I think we can rely on this, that they didn't like what was happening in Parliament, that they marked down all politicians, but certainly those members of the Liberal Party for putting on this sort of a show. When they should have been governing. So it will be interesting to see what the polls suggest. But if the past is any guide, there probably won't be good news for the new Morrison government in the polls. Well, there were two countervailing factors, I suppose. One, they might expect some sort of bounce in the polls because of that they are new and fresh and. I think voters like new and fresh and competent. Hmm. But there'll also be a feeling, well, if you can't govern yourself, which is the old adage, disunity is death, all of those sayings would apply to the Liberals. Because
well, yeah, but the really interesting thing about
it, nasty things about one another.
They certainly did, and they did it in public. And
Absolutely.
The really interesting thing about all of that is that, in fact, the party on a two-party preferred basis recently was within a whisker
almost
of being in a winning
ball,
position.
Really? Yes.
Yes.
They were almost back the line ball.
So it was just this leader thing. And the leader was never given clear air. And the Conservatives, and we can name Peter Dutton and Tony Abbott, but there are others. They never gave the leader clean air. So I think the acid test is, will they give the new leader clean air?
Yes, that is the acid test. There was never a clear explanation given. Even Matthias Cormann, a person who I have the greatest respect for and who was made possibly the decisive move across from Malcolm Turnbull to Peter Dutton, interviewed afterwards, couldn't really give any substantive reason why the change should be made, other than it was his judgment that there was so much disunity that the only way that was going to be resolved was by a change. So you front up with a new cabinet, which will inevitably include most of those who were plotting against Malcolm Turnbull.
Yep, Dutton is in, but Abbott is not in.
Abbott is not in. And that's actually been announced, has it, Stephen? Because I've been at the football...
While you've been swanning around the MCG...
I should have been concentrating on greater matters than sport. And I think Abbott not being in... I mean, there would have been arguments that he should have been in, but my view consistently has been that wouldn't have been a good move.
Yeah.
And it would have played right against any suggestion that this was a fresh new generation. And any gains that having Tony Abbott in the cabinet in terms of either his own ability as a minister or that he would be less inclined to be critical of the government from within the cabinet, or that he couldn't really, I far outweighed by the damage that his inclusion would have done to the ability of Morrison and Frydenberg to pitch to the electorate that this was a new, fresh team.
Well, now, our guest is Emeritus Professor John Warhurst, and while you've been at the footy, so he's announced...
You bring out the date, Stephen, which is a terrible admission that I don't know that.
It's all part of the service. it's the kind of show Open House is. Now, look, he's given a special job to Barnaby Joyce, which is really interesting. That's to do with a special advisor on rural affairs. I think I'll just get the full details of that. But now there's talk that a special advisor on the drought, that's it. There's talk that he might have some special role like that for Tony Abbott. So that may help.
Well, I still personally think that would be dangerous, but it may be how that special role is shaped and couched, and only Scott Morrison will be able to judge just how... in what frame of mind Tony Abbott is in to take on that job, that sort of job. I don't think he can be seen to be rewarding Tony Abbott too much for his obvious involvement in bringing down Malcolm Turnbull. So he'll have to have a very good reason, a set of reasons, to explain to the Australian community why this is the right job for Tony Abbott, if that turns out to be the case. Barnaby Joyce, I think, it fits in with Scott Morrison's emphasis on drought as a first priority.
Yeah, that was interesting.
And it's an interesting development. And Barnaby Joyce was brought down by other types of issues. And although I think he has been a grumpy old man on the back bench for the last few months and not helpful to Malcolm Turnbull at all, I think it's a less risky proposition to bring Barnaby Joyce into the cabinet. And he still is very popular in rural areas, there's no doubt about that. And, of course, has a wealth of knowledge of agricultural and rural issues more generally. So he can probably play a constructive role. I would say, though, that I don't think the role of Barnaby Joyce will be decisive in determining the result of the next election, in that I think most of the seats in which the election will be decided next May, if that's when it is, will be Liberal seats rather than National seats, and I don't think Barnaby Joyce will be much help in that regard. But if he can play a constructive role as far as drought policy is concerned, then that's an important national role to play.
All right. In football, you've got to have a fancy nickname, and you've been at the footy this hour. That's the flavour of this interview, clearly. Does it help that Scott Morrison is known as ScoMo? They put that on the back of his jersey, ScoMo.
Well, I think it does. I think his, his support for the Sharks. My view would be, Stephen, that anything which connects you in a genuine way with the broader community is a plus. And if a nickname is a sign that you've really broken down some barriers, that you're on a relaxed relationship with the Australian community, then I think that's a plus. And that's a good thing for him. And I think those commentators who said about Scott Morrison that he is, in a genuine way, a person of the people, in a way that Malcolm Turnbull was not in many ways, then that's one of his attractive features as a political leader and one which will do him the world of good, I think. I don't think, having said all that, I don't think you want to be on terms of excessive familiarity with your political leaders. if it becomes ScoMo's, okay, but within limits.
It's very millennial, though, isn't it? It really is. All right, John.
It is very millennial. But so it'll be Mr. Morrison, or it'll be Scott, or ScoMo.
Oh, at least it won't be I'm Kevin and I'm from Queensland. That was just too much. Neil, thank you so much, John. Good talking
not
to you
all.
As always.
Not at all. Thank you for bringing me up to date with something.
No,
it's I hope I've been able to return the favour by my comments from this end.
You have, my friend. Okay. Bless you. See ya. Bye-bye.
Okay. Love to talk to you, Stephen. Bye.
John Warhurst, Emeritus Professor from the ANU, Emeritus Professor of Political Science. There you have it. So Scott Morrison's released his cabinet, as you heard. Interesting, a few right-wingers have been sort of lifted up to be significant helpers as assistant minister to some of the senior ministers. So Alex Hawke, the right-winger from New South Wales, he's the assistant minister to Matthias Cormann. Matthias Cormann, whose decision to shift against Turnbull was critical to the result, to the resulting ballot. So that's an interesting thing to note. Maurice Payne goes into foreign affairs because Julie Bishop decided she wouldn't continue in that role. She was understandably bitterly disappointed that she got just 11 votes for the leader's ballot. She was the first one out of that three-way contest. And a lot of people who said they were going to vote for her, including fellow West Australians, didn't. And that's how it goes in politics, but it is awful when it happens, and she feels disappointed at that. She's given a lot to this country. She has been an outstanding foreign minister, and I think she would have been an outstanding leader as well. But that's what she's doing. So Maurice Payne steps into that. So we'll have our first and second female foreign ministers from the same party during the same parliament. Neil joins us from Forestville on 1300 40 2020. Hiya, Neil.
I'm all right. Actually, Stephen, I don't want to turn the tables, but I'd like to ask you a question about something you said during the week at some point during the interview.
It wasn't me. Someone who looked like me. Go on. Yeah?
Well, first of all, can I just tell you, I was in a bank and I heard you talking about the being a local member and people send you emails. It sounded like you're almost justifying the pressure that they were under and succumbing to the people who replaced. That's the way I heard it, and I was only in the bank. I
was making the point
TV
that...
or radio.
Yeah, no, that, someone asked me during the week on Hope, 103.2, the Sydney station. They said, does the media make a difference? And firstly, this time it absolutely did. So you had a number of key right-wing commentators, plus you had a lot of the News Corp papers, and you also had what someone during the week called Sky After Dark, so some of the Peter Credlin and some of those people, ex-Abbott, chief of staff, they've been against Turnbull for months and months and months.
Yeah.
That's definitely made a difference. And the other thing that does make a difference is that you get bombarded. And in the old days, you're bombarded by fax and phone calls.
Yes, and
MPs then start to feel the pressure. So they're building the sense of crisis,
and
the public plays into that by its bombardment of its MPs. You've got to do something, you've got to do something.
Yeah.
So they almost get to the stage where they can't make a rational choice, and they're foxed into going into a ballot.
Which sort of dovetails into my thing for you tonight. because I sort of had tuned out, like a lot of people. I mean, we have to pay for this bunch. And every time we replace Prime Minister, we have to pay for a future private office and staff, which they have for whatever and ever, amen. So taking a Christian perspective, I prayed and I said, Lord, if it is Scott Morrison's time, because he said before he wants to be the number one, then just exalt him and shut the mouths of those who oppose him. And lo and behold, he became, now, you know, that was my prayer. And I think if Christians prayed more, which we're instructed to in 1 or 2 Timothy, to pray for the leaders of your land, that they will govern in righteousness. And that's almost like a prayer to restrain this idiot, you know, backbiting, you might say.
Yes, yes.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. And there may well be... No, I mean, if we believe that God is, you know, in control, then you've got to believe that these events play out ultimately for the good of his people.
Absolutely. And, look, I have a retired uncle who's a graduate. I'm sorry, my voice is a bit off all of a sudden tonight. I don't know why. But I could tell you story after story of my uncle who was so gracious with greenies walking onto his land and trying to tell my uncle, who'd farmed the land for 50 years, how to run it. I mean, that's just the idiotic. Now, I'm not a conservative. I'm, like most Australians, I'm centre-left, if the push comes to shove.
I think you're right.
You know, and I just want to remind people, particularly those of a faith dimension, a spiritual dimension, as opposed to the... And I agree with all of that. I think it's time that... I wish I could sit the journalists down and say, stop fighting for the rating point. You know, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, that'll be in the world to come, Neil.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be.
Thank you for calling, my friend. It was lovely chatting with you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
God bless you. That's Neil from Forestville. And Mark is in West End. That's in Brisbane. Hey, Mark. Hello, Mark. Well, Mark was in West End in Brisbane. Let's try him again. You're there, Mark. Go for it. Oh, the sound of silence from West End. And he wanted to... He had a Bible quote for us. Mark, ring him back. We need your Bible quote. You're still there, brother. No? Okay, so this we've got this on 0448402020. A great week for the people in the seat of Cook. Our local member becomes PM and the Sharks get into the top four in the NRL. Up, up, Cronulla. Yes, and ScoMo is the number one ticket holder at the Sharks. And on this, I'm happy that a church-going Christian is the Prime Minister. That's a plus for Australia. And Turnbull did oust Abbott. Sorry, Julia didn't accept her position in government. So thank you for those texts. 0448402020 is the one to call. It's a text. And if you want to speak on the program, it's 1300 402020.
Tell us your thoughts. Text in on 0448402020. Life, faith, hope. This is Open House with Stephen O'Doherty.
Discover a new way of retirement living with station sponsor Baptist Care. The Gracewood community at Kellyville is in the third and final stage of development, giving you the choice of what your future looks like. As well as luxury independent living apartments, you'll have on-site access to resort-style facilities, a wonderful community and ongoing care should your needs ever change. Don't miss out. Join the VIP priority register. Visit thegracewood.org.au.
If your child is struggling with literacy, MultiLit can help. Developed by Macquarie University, MultiLit offers evidence-based literacy programs that are tailored to your child's needs. Work one-on-one with MultiLit's expert tutors at our Macquarie Park or Bella Vista literacy centres, or in live online sessions. Help your child improve their literacy skills and gain their confidence in reading. For more information, visit multilit.com.
Station sponsor.
So, you're doing church and going through the motions, but you want a deeper understanding of the things of God and how you could be better equipped to help others. LL Ministries 6-Day School could be just what you need. It's 6 days of teaching and prayer ministry workshops designed to equip you in bringing God's restoration to others. The 6-Day School runs Monday the 3rd to Saturday the 8th of September. Contact station sponsor LL Ministries at ll.org.au. That's ell.org.au.
What's on your mind? 1300 40 2020. Life,
Faith, Hope. This is Open House with Stephen O'Doherty.
I think the text said, we just worked this out, meant to type Julie rather than Julia. Sorry, Julie didn't accept the position in government. Yeah, I am too. I think she's been doing an outstanding job. I had a theory once, because the moderates were actually promoting her about, gosh, they were promoting her before Malcolm Turnbull had his second run. And in fact, they were promoting her in opposition, I seem to recall a conversation with someone, as the next leader. And I thought at that time that if Julie Bishop had become the leader and ultimately the Prime Minister of a Liberal National Coalition government, that was what Australia needed to get over the problems around our first female Prime Minister being so divisive, not for any fault of her own, but because many people didn't give her a run. And I know that many of my friends disagree with me on this. I think that our first female Prime Minister actually got a very bad run because she was a woman. I do subscribe to the misogyny theory. That was definitely a factor in the minds of some commentators, for example. And had Julie Bishop been able to become female Prime Minister, we would have got over this hoodoo about, oh, can we have a female Prime Minister, because then it's not up to it, which is complete and utter rubbish. You cannot run a country with that sort of undertone thinking about leadership. So anyway, that's my view. That won't happen now, I think, as a great shame. What will she turn her mind to? I don't know. We used to deal with her, Julie Bishop, as Education Minister, and she was always very fair-minded and, gosh, fearsome to deal with. She stared at you, you sort of shrank. And raining around Australia. So here we are. This is the latest. So Brisbane, 90% there. What does that mean, catchments? Is that catchments, any? Okay. 5 to 20 millimetres in Brisbane. 1 to 5 millimetres in Sydney. Less than a millimetre in Canberra. Oh, these are all the capital cities. So not raining through Western Australia, not raining through Northern Territory or South Australia, except down near Adelaide, and some rain in Queensland, Southern Queensland. And rain throughout New South Wales, though, in all the regions there, and that's pretty cool, given everything.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.